I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4 every day, and then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app for the John and Ken podcast, John and Ken on demand, to catch up what you missed.
Yeah, in about 1 hour, you never know with these things, there's going to be a presser. That's the term that inside radio people use for a press conference, because nobody likes to use two words when you can use one.
Well,
it's a presser.
It takes so long to say
press it is. Conference. It's a lot of effort to say press conference.
Yeah.
It's about the stabbing of the bus driver, the Metro bus driver in Woodland Hills, stabbed about 5:15 in the afternoon yesterday, some sort of an argument. There's surveillance footage of the stabber. They're looking for a young guy. And we're going to find out more about that and the reward that they're offering to capture this man who obviously took off. The bus driver is in critical condition. I think he's expected to survive. We'll probably find out a lot more about that. We will bring it to you. It's supposed to start around 3 o'clock, but you know, hang in there.
Whenever
it starts, we'll be there.
They're doing something stupid in San Diego County. They're going to buy 4 hotels for almost $160 million, 4 hotels, and they're going to put the vagrants in there.
Oh, I thought it was for tourism.
No, yeah. it's not for tourism.
How about vagrant tourism?
Well, we already have that.
We have that, yes.
We have a lot of tourists who become
vagrants. It was a 3-1 vote by the San Diego County Supervisors. We have the one no vote coming on the show.
Republican County Supervisor Jim Desmond. Jim, welcome.
John and Ken, happy to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, you couldn't convince the other three that this is crazy?
You know, we have to stop our own insanity before we can help anybody else. And unfortunately, we couldn't do that in San Diego.
What is the point?
Explain what this is, hotels. Yeah,
it's $40 million a hotel.
Well, it's about $400,000 per room is what it came to. And you know what? This is good that they're actually buying houses or getting, you know, permanent housing, they're calling it, for the homeless. But it has no requirements for any sort of treatment or services. And because it's matching dollars from the state, and if you get money from Sacramento as part of this, then you have to follow their rules and their strings. But you can't reject somebody for any previous criminal evictions. You can't require treatment or services. And you can't evict anybody for alcohol or drug abuse from these hotels. So we're just allowing people to live here, but not requiring any services or treatment.
Jim, are you familiar with the Skid Row Housing Trust story?
Is it similar to this?
Well, but basically they own these apartment buildings in downtown Los Angeles. It's a nonprofit, and they're putting the homeless in there with everything you just described. No requirements for sobriety or treatment. Apparently the place is overrun with gangs and drugs, and they've gone bankrupt because the rooms are being destroyed. That's what you're looking at here with these hotels.
And they keep rebuilding the rooms, and they keep being destroyed. Some of these vagrants have 3 rooms they've been given, and all 3 have been ruined. It's a complete failure, this type of policy. They're not serious people, are they, about doing anything for the homeless? This is just some kind of financial scheme, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't seem like. I mean, what it was, the appetite or what was the allure is, okay, we put in, you know, I think it's like $60 million here in between the county and the city of San Diego. We're going to put in, our share, and then we're going to get matching dollars from the state. So we're saying, oh, good, we're bringing, $50 million or whatever the number was to San Diego County for homelessness from Sacramento. But we're just chasing our tails. We just keep doing the same thing over and over.
What I'm saying is, who gets the money? Okay, you have all these hundreds of millions of dollars that are going, for homelessness. But who ends up with the cash? Are they these nonprofits?
The owners of these four hotels.
Okay, and how much money are they?
Yeah, what are these hotels? What kind of shape are they in?
Well, I haven't looked at them all myself, but this is just purchasing the hotels. This doesn't include then any utilities or food or treatment that anyone might take. That also is going to be paid for by the taxpayers. And our city of San Diego, we had down in February, we had a peak, our highest number yet. For the number of homeless in downtown San Diego was 2,000 in February. We've been using this housing first model that it says you can't, make people take treatments since 2016, and our housing numbers have gone up throughout the state by 93%, the homelessness numbers, 93% since this program started.
Okay, so the program is a failure, and everybody knows it. So what's the real story here? Who's profiting from this is what I'm getting at. Is it these hotel owners? Did they donate a lot of money to some of the supervisor campaigns? Or the nonprofits that are supposedly going to manage the program? How much money are the CEOs of each of these nonprofits making? Because every time there's a nonprofit involved in some kind of homeless scandal, you can look up on Charity Navigator and find out that they're making big six-figure salaries. And they don't care if the program works or not because they're making a lot of money personally. And so are many people on their staff.
You're absolutely right. And we are, I will say that we are offering services to all of the participants or all of the people living in these places, but they don't have to take it. So they've got people there standing by probably doing nothing because maybe most of the people aren't going to accept services and they just unfortunately end up trashing the place. And then you got to think about the neighborhoods, the people that live around these hotels that are there, or even the businesses that are around these hotels. People are going to be coming and going and getting their drugs or getting high and it's just a failure in that we just keep chasing our tail. And I think politicians feel good about themselves for doing this. Look at all this money we put towards homeless.
So these other supervisors, I'm going to mention their names so the public will know who these losers are. Nora Vargas, Tara Lawson-Remmer, Joel Anderson, they know that all these housing programs have failed. They don't care. They're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars of tax money making the same mistake over and over again.
You're absolutely right. And be honest with you, I would have voted for it if it required services and mental health treatment, which is what the core problem is with most of the people that are homeless that are still out there today. And the chronic homelessness, that's what they need.
Yeah.
They're going to argue, Jim, that they won't come in. Then they won't come in if you make them go to these programs. So we can't get them off the streets because they don't want to go into these.
You force them into treatment. That's the answer to that. Really, Jim, if San Diego County and every other county doesn't force these people into treatment, this is going to go on for the rest of our lives and just get worse and worse. Because they've tried all their programs for the last 5 or 6 years. Every single one of them has failed. There's no success story to point to. They just guilt people into spending more tax money and flush it down the hole. You know how many buildings that nonprofit here in L.A., the Skid Row Trust, 29 buildings destroyed. 29 buildings have been destroyed. That's all that's going to happen to these four hotels.
I agree with you, and the neighborhoods around them. And this is why a third of the country is homeless are in California, because we're just taking their bad behavior and moving it to another place. We're not really fixing or going after the cause of mental illness and drug and alcohol abuse and not going after that.
I know, but the people of San Diego, they elect five people not to be stupid. And outside of you, these other three, they're stupid. This has already been proven to be a failure. This is not theoretical. It's not a debate. There's no two sides to this. These programs have failed. I mean, if you don't require drug and alcohol programs to get them sober, then this is going to be a disaster. And you know it's going to be a disaster. And they should know this, the other three.
That's why I voted no. But unfortunately, we just keep chasing our tails in California thinking we're going to solve this. And we just put more and more money. We've spent billions already.
I know.
Billions in this state.
Oh, and the response, Jim, is always, well, more people just keep falling into homelessness. We can't keep up.
No, they're coming on buses from all over the country.
Yeah.
There's got to be the end of the road soon. Because the verdict is in. All this stuff doesn't work. It's destructive.
All right. Thanks for talking to us once again. We appreciate it, Jim, coming on and fighting the good fight.
Well, I appreciate you letting people know what's going on out there, and hopefully we get some change in Sacramento.
It's nuts. All right. Thanks, Jim.
San Diego County Supervisor Jim Desmond, the only no vote in San Diego on the county board there to spend an enormous amount of money to buy hotels for the homeless. And Jim's big problem there is no requirement to go into any kind of treatment, right? Just come on in there and flop if you feel like it and have your drug dealers come in. And this is what we saw happen in downtown L.A. with those buildings run by a nonprofit housing
trust. Why do people in San Diego County repeatedly vote for idiots? There's a deeper question. Why is the public in California more than any other state voting for idiot after idiot after idiot?
Well, the same can be said for the Los Angeles City Council story coming up about the homeless and your car. We'll explain. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. It's John and Ken on demand, the podcast, to pick up what you missed.
And again, we're expecting to join a news conference sometime in the 3 o'clock hour, probably at 3, dealing with the stabbing of the bus driver in Woodland Hills, the Metro bus driver, who was stabbed by some guy that got on and got into an argument with them. That's all we know, but the argument ended up out in the sidewalk where the driver was stabbed, and he is in critical condition. They're offering some money to find this man, and they do have surveillance photos that they've circulated of him. So we'll see the new developments in the story. We'll see how the bus driver is. And, of course, the overriding problem of Metro safety coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Well, sometimes subjects can cross over into each other in these long wars that we cover on the John and Ken Show. The homeless and your car. It was funny, John, I was reading an article over the weekend, and I forget where, but that professor at UCLA reared his ugly head again. Remember Donald Shoup?
Oh, that goof.
The article basically was saying we've got to get rid of the parking. No, literally it was.
Yeah.
And most people that drive around L.A. know it's difficult to find parking. What they want to do is make less of it. They're now making arguments that there's too much parking and it's taking away a chance for housing. Well, that was the argument I was reading.
Right. But it's always a cover for getting us out of our cars.
It is.
Because we're polluting the planet. So what they do is they try different angles.
They do. They try to come at you from right behind.
Right. But no, it's
saying, we do have a housing problem. Now we have too much parking.
Bottom line, they want you to live your life the way they see fit. And they think you should live your life without driving a gas-powered automobile.
And you should get on the very safe bus and train system of LA County.
And get stabbed to death. They would rather have you dead on a train than alive driving a gas-powered car. And I'm not kidding.
So we have one of the newest numbnutses on the L.A. City Council. Her name is Katie Yaroslavsky. The name should sound familiar. This is Zev Yaroslavsky's daughter-in-law. Not his daughter, but his daughter-in-law.
But somehow, even though she doesn't have the direct bloodline, she has all of her father-in-law's worst political instincts.
She does.
I don't know how that hack can
that hack lasted through the council and the supervisors for what, 20, 30 years he was around?
Oh, he was abominable. Absolutely abominable. And now this is the woman. She 2 years there was a homeless encampment and she couldn't figure out what to do. I mean, she didn't take over till December, but for months, 6 months, it was on San Vicente Boulevard. She did nothing.
So the motion that they want to pass, it's kind of weird, but they want to nullify the city's parking space replacement policy. If you're a little mystified as to what that means. Sort of it means that when you're going to build, quote, affordable housing, they're often telling you, well, you've got to replace the parking that you tore down too. That the idea here is, well, we'll be able to make more affordable housing. We don't have to have all these parking spaces. And I'm like, you know, in some parts of LA, holy crap, it's hard to find parking on the street. You're going to take away the parking that might be a part of the building. Here she is on Instagram explaining this.
In the city of Los Angeles, one parking space can cost $70,000. Right now, there's this requirement that if you use a city-owned parking lot to build homeless housing, you have to replace all the parking spaces in your homeless project. And that requirement single-handedly rendered building homeless housing or interim housing in pretty much every parking lot financially infeasible. One parking lot in the district that we were looking at for homeless housing, the parking replacement requirement alone added $3.5 million to the construction costs. We introduced this motion a couple weeks ago, and the council unanimously supported eliminating that requirement. And so it's going to help a lot with bringing down the cost of building those projects and to bring people off the streets and into interim and permanent shelter.
So let's go back to where we started, because there was the same idea in the article I was reading. Let's get rid of the parking. And John's right. It's about getting you out of your car. Now, you can make an argument a lot of the homeless don't have a car anyway. But let's just look at this on its face. The idea is we want to eliminate the parking, which will make you rethink using your car. That's really what the agenda is.
They want to make life difficult, as difficult as possible. They would love to remove all the parking spaces. That's what that jackass Shoup at UCLA was pushing. He had all these complicated ideas, and it always came down to the same point. If you have no more parking spaces, then people are going to stop driving.
Right, and this new argument is it's expensive to build a parking space.
Well, you know,
$70,000 for a parking space?
It doesn't cost $70,000.
It doesn't matter. What if it lasts 50 years? That's pretty cheap per day.
Besides, I don't believe that. I think that's a totally made-up, fictitious number.
I do, too.
Empty spaces don't cost money.
Well, you got to put down the asphalt or whatever. The lines.
Right. The white
signage.
Paint. Sure. Yeah, the parking space sign. No, here's what it is. And this Katie Arslobsky doesn't understand this. We don't owe these homeless people a free apartment. We don't owe them that. We have the right to have parking spaces because we have jobs and we're living our lives and we're going to work and we're shopping and buying things. And we have every right to have parking spaces. We didn't do something wrong by having parking spaces. We don't owe these people anything. They're the ones refusing to work. They're the ones intentionally taking drugs and booze. They're the ones acting psychotic. They're doing it. And now suddenly, oh, well, you're the one with wants a parking space? Yes, I'm the one who wants a parking space because I go to work and I pay my bills. And I need to drive to get around to do what I want because I'm a free man in the United States, okay? And I'm not working, and I'm not giving up my parking spaces and giving up my tax money to deal with people who absolutely refuse to live life normally, who want to indulge in drugs and alcohol and insanity. You can go and help your insanity. You can help your addictions. They refuse to. They refuse to, and then I have to, again, tailor my life to a Katie Arslovsky?
All right, we got more coming up.
I mean, that is so sick and twisted. That is just so sick.
John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're hoping to learn a lot more coming up at 3 o'clock or thereabouts. There'll be a press conference over the stabbing of the Metro bus driver in Woodland Hills yesterday afternoon. They do have surveillance footage of the guy who did this. It's a young guy that they're looking for. The reward, $25,000. It may actually be higher by the time we hear more details in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll bring that news conference to you as soon as it starts here on KFI. Well, we were just talking about how the war to get you out of your car continues. The big idea that's sweeping the country, not really, is to take away parking. If you don't remember, they had that idea they wanted to charge you for parking at work. That was another idea. Mm-hmm. Why should you get free parking at work? You know, it costs the company or the building money to have that parking there. You know, you should pay for it because you choose to drive your car.
This comes out of nutty academic.
Yeah, like that studies. UCLA professor. That's right.
Yeah, that's what they do in
people
there.
People who don't live in the real world.
They brainstorm and they come up with insane ways to restrict parking, penalize you for parking. I get countless articles over the years I have seen railing about parking. It's like you realize they're angry when you drive and they're angry when you don't drive, because parking means you're not driving. You're not spewing anything into the atmosphere. The car is sitting there. It's inert. It's not harming anybody. But having a parking space allows you to have a car, and that is the real goal here. They distract you with parking.
There's another way to make you unhappy with driving. This is bizarre. But what about if we just let the Los Angeles freeways go dark? We don't bother with the freeway lights. So you get lost and frustrated and you just don't want to drive your car places anymore. Here is the report from KCAL News investigative reporter David Goldstein.
They're ripped open like cans on the side of the freeways. Caltrans electrical boxes. They're supposed to power freeway lights and cameras. Now vandalized, wires ripped out, some with cobwebs, leading critics to say Caltrans just isn't doing enough to fix them.
How long have you been fighting Caltrans?
5 years.
5 years and the lights are still out?
They're still out.
And it endangers everyone on the roads.
It seemed like the same lights that were out 3 years ago are the same ones that are still out.
Thomas Leonard saw it firsthand in his nightly commute.
Many overhead freeway signs are missing their lighting.
Like this one. Here's the Olympic Boulevard exit on the 405. You can barely make out the lettering because the lights aren't working. And many of the freeway street lights designed to make exits and entrance ramps safe are also dark. Caltrans confirms 40% of the 34,000 freeway lights in LA County don't work because of vandalism. And some haven't worked for years. People who don't know where they're going, like a driver Leonard encountered, could cause accidents for others.
So he cuts across five lanes, nearly hitting me, to make the I-10 exit.
And you think because the sign was out that they couldn't see it?
I believe that they were not anticipating the I-10 exit to be that soon.
Here along the 405 north in the Sepulveda Pass, you could really see the damage. Down here, street lighting, Caltrans, this one ripped open, the wire still sticking out. The next one, Caltrans Communications, here the wires also ripped out, all of it gone. Watch as we drive down the freeway. Electrical box after electrical box after electrical box ripped open. What remains are just a few wires left dangling. Officials say thieves are stealing the copper wiring, which they sell for scrap metal. On the 10 between Santa Monica and downtown, the same thing. This box connected to a freeway sign totally gutted, cutting off lights that are designed to keep you safe.
These are serious safety concerns, right?
They are.
Brad Averitt is a certified safety engineer.
I think it's definitely putting citizens at risk.
Caltrans also says thieves are stealing fiber optic cables that control those freeway message signs and Caltrans traffic cameras.
They provided this video of their North Hollywood communications hub after it was broken into and stripped of wiring. Caltrans confirms 321 of the 551 freeway cameras in LA County don't work on any given day.
We have a signaler to track out there this morning.
That makes it harder for traffic reporters like our own Kalina Estrinos to help you navigate your commute.
Are you able to see all of the cameras that are supposed to be there?
Some cameras don't work, or some cameras just don't exist. Some may be stuck on an image from the day before. Others just say no image available.
In all, Caltrans reports 550 cases of wire vandalism in LA County this fiscal year, compared to just 165 10 years ago. In Orange County, there are 149 incidents this fiscal year, compared to just 6 in 2013. It cost taxpayers more than $24 million in repairs just in LA County over the past 5 years. Yet the lights are still out. Sources tell us budgets for repairs have been cut back, and some residents are frustrated.
We've asked reports on it, and we still haven't gotten the reports.
They're not being forthcoming.
No.
Terrence Gomes is with the South Robertson Neighborhoods Council. They've been fighting 5 years to get lights repaired on the entrance and exit ramps on the 10 at La Cienega. And they say Caltrans has claimed that some things were repaired when they really haven't been.
We actually have requested the service records for every light that is on the 110 freeway in our area.
Why? Because you don't believe what Caltrans is telling you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Caltrans refused an on-camera interview, but they say they do see an increase in vandalism when the prices for precious metals are up, which they are now. They've started to install these security doors with 6 inches of concrete on the freeway boxes, but we've also seen those vandalized. And they're also installing fencing and steel doors at their communications hub. But there are still hundreds of miles of freeway that need repairs.
It's almost as if Caltrans believes that once the stuff's ripped out of the poles, we'll never have lighted signs at that location again.
Now, sources tell me some of the thieves may be the unhoused who live along the freeway, as well as organized rings who sell copper wiring. Caltrans claims to be as diligent as possible, trying to prevent thefts, but as you saw, the numbers going up, despite the millions billed to taxpayers.
That's David Goldstein, KCAL9 investigative reporter on the theft of copper wiring, which is causing a lot of freeway lights and freeway signs, and also, of course, the speed cameras and the cameras to go out.
The freeways are dark in many places. If we come home at night, let's say from the valley, and go south on the 405 to get off at Sunset Boulevard, it's dark.
Oh, I've noticed that, yeah.
And the street signs are dark. In other words, the exit signs overhead.
Right, these little lights that illuminate them, they're dead.
You can't see them. So what you have here, and this is the fault of, this is Karen Bass's Los Angeles, okay, and Gavin Newsom's California. First of all, the people stealing all the copper wire don't go to jail. They're not caught because there aren't any cops around. And if the cops arrested them, they get let go anyway. So every
day, they got no bail.
They're out stealing stuff. I mean, look at the difference. 10 years ago, we were prosecuting crimes, right? 165.
Yeah, wire vandalism in LA County that year, 10 years ago, 165. Now up to 550 cases.
Look at Orange County. It was 6 in 2013. 6. Once every 2 months. Now it's 149. It's because nobody is going to jail. And then you hear that the budgets are cut, and that's why they can't do the repairs. We had record tax revenues last year. They had a $100 billion surplus. The budget is $300 billion now.
They don't spend it on anything to do with the roads or cars.
10 years ago, the budget was $100 billion. Now it's $300 billion, but they cut the budget to fix the roads and the copper wiring that's been torn out of the boxes. And how long does it take to make the boxes theft-proof? They could do it if they wanted to. They don't. Did you notice Caltrans didn't even want to talk? That's the new way to handle things. You don't even respond to the reporters. You don't respond to the emails, the phone calls. And people, by tomorrow, you'll forget this story. You'll have no
because
memory.
Because it's part of the plot to get you out of your car. If you can't see on the roads anymore, you won't take them.
Right. And if you crash and die in the dark tonight on the 405, because you pulled over at the last second to take an exit. You didn't see the sign? Well, good. That's what they want. They want everybody to give up driving. And this is the stuff. Instead, what was Gavin Newsom squealing about? We told you last hour. He was squealing about Target. Moving the
merchandise for LGBTQ
the tuck swimsuits, yes. The no tuck swimsuits.
They pulled them right
for trans people to tuck their genitals. That's what he's screaming about. But the 405 in complete darkness, because his Caltrans doesn't spend the money and doesn't do the work. And who runs Caltrans? I had it up here on my computer. Oh yeah, the head of Caltrans is some goof named Tony Tavares. Now, what
hey,
is
Tony.
He? Yeah, he's got a big balding head, a big smile. And what does he do all day? A complete incompetent. A total, absolute incompetent. Making six figures. Money.
We got more coming up. Don't forget, we'll carry a news conference sometime in the 3 o'clock hour, maybe starting right at 3. That's the schedule about the stabbing of the Metro bus driver in Woodland Hills. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio, 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand, the podcast. You can catch up on what you missed.
Yeah, and don't forget, the Moist Line returns tomorrow during the 3 o'clock hour. There is still time to drop your messages using the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon there for the Moist Line directly, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. We'll bring you, whenever it begins, after 3 o'clock, the news conference with an update on the stabbing of the Metro bus driver in Woodland Hills yesterday afternoon. They're still looking for the suspect. They have him on surveillance video. They've released photos. They're offering reward money. We'll get a full update from officials sometime just after 3 o'clock. Well, Deborah Mark sent this to me, John Cobelt, and it could be a game changer, and it led me to do a little research. How's all that for a beginning?
What's that?
Of course, it has to do with animals, it has to do with meat, it has to do with beef. Well, she put what with 1, 2, 3, 4 exclamation points. And here it is. California chefs are seeking elderly cow meat. Following a trend that's growing in Europe, some California restaurants are seeking out old, retired dairy cows as a source of meat. Oliver Woolley, who runs the farm Peeds and Barnett's near Yosemite, ate a steak that blew his mind in England 5 years ago, and it changed his entire business model. Many other California farms and restaurants are on the bandwagon, saying the meat is much tastier than what they've been eating. An added benefit is it's more sustainable, using cows that have been aged out of the milk supply business. The chef said it tasted like it was bathed in butter. There you go. Mm.
So they can't leave these retired cows alone? Well,
these are old lady cows?
Well, dairy cattle are bred and raised for their ability to produce milk. Mm. Beef cattle are raised mainly for meat, so it has to do with the breeding and why they're kind of kept apart. But this looks like it could be a new trend to cross over the retired dairy cows and turn them into John's steak.
So the cows run out of milk after a while? I don't know how this works. I never...
Yes. Eventually, they're not going to be as productive.
So these are menopausal cows?
Yes.
Like a baseball player who's hitting age 40.
So you go from
they're resting.
So you go from being productive to menopause, and now they're...
going to be on your kitchen table.
Hmm. That's a good line.
No, it's terrible, and it's cruel.
Well, they're not useful anymore. They're out of milk.
Buttery
steaks are delicious.
Oh, wow. So it's buttery tasting because...
Sounds like it's very soft, and maybe because they were dairy cows, there's some of that crosses over into their meat.
Wow, I'd like to try that.
In front of Deborah Mark, you will.
I'll smack you.
Promise?
In the face.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the research here, and it says, in general, dairy breeds don't fatten as quickly as meat breeds when raised for beef. So that's why no one probably thought of this, but this guy found out. He went to Europe, and he ate a tasty steak, and he said, can you tell me about this? And he said, well, that's an old dairy cow. And
this chopped it up. This is an LA...
California restaurants.
California restaurants. Well,
a guy who owns a place near Yosemite, a farm, says that he may start doing this.
That's a long drive. Something in L.A.
No.
They jump on all the disgusting sushi trends.
Leave the retired dairy cows alone. They've
but then we don't have to kill new ones, Deborah Mark. We'll just take the old dairy cows and...
No, let's just eliminate
bonk them over the head and
all cows to begin with. How's that?
Postmenopausal cows. Can't be left alone. They spent every day of their lives getting yanked on for their milk.
Right.
Could
and
you
now,
imagine? I mean, if this is true and this really tastes remarkably better, what's going to happen with meat consumption, Deborah Mark, in this state? It's already high, but I mean, John gets a taste if it's as good as the chef says.
You know, the vegan stuff is all extremely overhyped. Meat consumption is
first of all, as I've said, I don't eat the vegan stuff. Uh-huh. My diet just contains things that are non-animal products.
Right.
So I don't eat the fake meat. I don't eat the fake butter. I don't do any of that. And I'm fine. I eat the avocados and the soybeans and the lentils and all of that. And I'm fine.
And roadside weeds.
Yes, that too.
She grazes.
You can see her grazing every once in a while.
Sometimes
on the way home, she pulls over.
Yeah. What's that lady doing?
Does she really? You have microgreens?
Every day. I make a little salad and I get, it's called microgreens.
Why is it healthy? Because it's small.
They're tiny. They almost look like sprouts.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I don't.
And they're very neutral. Of course you don't. You've never tried one in your life.
I know. She tries to convert John, but it's
just useless. Leave the animals alone. Come on. There's so much other things that you can eat. So many other things you can eat, I should say.
They're the tastiest.
No. I think you're right, Deborah Mark. If there's a God, he's going to get us for eating the animals.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You're going to find out there isn't.
All right. Coming up, we're expecting this hour, 3 o'clock hour. We don't know if it'll start on time, but we'll pick it up whenever it does. A news conference concerning the story of the bus driver who was stabbed multiple times in Woodland Hills after he got into an argument with a guy that got on the bus and it ended up on the sidewalk. And eventually the guy pulled out a knife or some sharp object and stabbed him. They're still looking for the suspect. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.